Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 51 and 12 from the New King James Version says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." I actually like the New Living Translation as well, if not even more. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." Make me willing to obey you. I want you to go to the next slide. Next slide. Any of you remember this place? Let me see your hands if you're old enough to remember this. Okay. I mentioned it on Facebook, and man, $99.95, $69.95, $29.95. I think, Les, you're telling your age a little bit. $19.95. Earl Scheib. Paint and Body Shops. Let me tell you a little bit about them as an introduction to my message. Earl Scheib founded his body shops in Los Angeles in 1937, and the company grew quickly following World War II, and by 1975, they had branches not only all across the United States, but in Germany and in England. They were all company-owned shops, with Scheib manufacturing his own paint through a wholly-owned subsidiary. Earl Scheib's paint coating systems were used by its company-owned plant and collision repair shop, paint and collision repair shops. And the paint was also sold to original equipment manufacturers and architectural construction firms. Scheib's policy of one-day service and production line techniques flew directly in the face of state-of-the-art professional auto body standards and caused the company to become a national joke at the time. Hey, if you worked at one or you owned one, I'm sorry. A national joke. Scheib was plagued with a high employment turnover rate due to the demands of attempting to paint up to 5 cars each day per shop. The company's main criteria in hiring and promoting management trainees was based upon sales skills only. Knowledge of auto body repair or painting techniques was not required to manage the shop. Trainees underwent a short training period and were then assigned to their own shops. Managers who failed to increase sales for 3 successive months were automatically fired, regardless of seniority. It was all about sales. It was all about promotion. Earl Scheib Paint and Body Shop ceased operations nationwide on July 16th of 2010. Earl Scheib paint jobs were a joke because they were not just fast and inexpensive, but they were cheap in the worst possible way. No lasting quality. The quote, "You get what you pay for," is what my dad told me about Earl Scheib when I was a boy. And I saw a sign saying they would paint your car. And I think at that time it was $39.95. And I thought, man, Dad, you ought to let them paint your car. And he looked at me and said, "Son, you get what you pay for." And the only ones that go to Earl Scheib for body jobs and paint jobs are those that are going to sell the vehicle after it's painted. Because his work is not good and it does not last. Sadly, much of what is going on in Christian circles today kind of reminds me of Earl Scheib paint jobs. A cheap representation of real restoration. Too many churches today are in the sales business and not the restoration business. They're more concerned about statistical results than they are spiritual results, filling pews rather than filling hearts. God is not looking to set sales records. He is looking to save souls for eternity. Can somebody say amen? Filling up God's house is a good thing. Filling up people's hearts with God is a better thing, a greater thing, and a far more important thing. Last Sunday, Pastor Sturgill shared with us that Lucifer was created by God to bring glory to God through worship. And Lucifer was created for the sole purpose of bringing glory to God. Unfortunately, he chose to want to be like God and to share the glory. The fall of Lucifer is found in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Let me read them to you from the New Living Translation. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to its lowest depths. I tell people all the time, on earth there has been a struggle between good and evil. But there was no struggle in heaven when Satan rebelled. Whew, the Bible said he fell like lightning. Hello. Shoo. God spoke and it was done. And the entity that God had created to bring glory to him desired to share the glory. And God will not allow anyone to share his glory. Unfortunately, though God created man to demonstrate and share his glory, man decided that he wanted to be like God. To have some of that glory. And he believed the devil's lie and he ate of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Isn't it ironic that the very thing that Satan wanted is what he tempted Adam and Eve with? If you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. Friend, we're never going to be exactly like God. Ironically, the very thing that man, that deceived man in the fall, is one of the things that God desires to share with us in the resurrection. From glory to glory to glory. Jesus came to restore to men the ability again to bring glory to God. That is what restoration is. To return something to a previous condition. To bring something back to an earlier or better condition. I love it, the fact that when God restores someone, he not only makes them as good as new, he makes them better than new. Can you say amen? Jesus' primary reason for coming to the earth was to save sinners through restoring them to the pre-fall ability they had to bring glory unto God. In Isaiah 43 and 7, the Bible said, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. In Isaiah 44, God says, I have redeemed man that my glory may be displayed through him to all the nations. And in Isaiah 48, God declares, yet for my own sake and for the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wipe you out. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. But I will rescue you for my name's sake. Yes, for my own sake. I will not lay my reputation. I will not let my reputation be tarnished. And I will not share my glory with idols. God rescued us so that we can display his glory through our transformed character. His desire is for us to experience complete restoration. While we are so conscious of the need and the desire to go to heaven, we have forgotten that Jesus didn't die just so that we can go to heaven. He died so that we could be restored to a place where through his character manifested through our character, he would be glorified. He said we were created so that we would reach out to him and come to know him. the word of God says, but in, from Peter, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or a special people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He didn't just save us so that we wouldn't be eternally lost. He saved us so that eternally we can not only experience his joy, but bring glory and honor and praise unto him. The 24 elders before the throne are doing nothing less but bringing glory to God all the time. And our lives should bring glory to God all the time. Not just on Sunday mornings when we're in church, or if on the Sabbath, if you worship on a Sabbath day. Our lives are to bring glory to God all the time. For that purpose, we were created, and he has saved us to restore us to a place where his character can be demonstrated in our lives. A couple weeks ago, we sang that song, To Be Like Jesus. You know, and that is not just something that we should desire to attain to. It's exactly what God has called us to become like his son, Jesus Christ. Christ not only came into the world to die for us, but to give us an example of how we are to live as a child of God. And we are to develop that character in our hearts and in our lives. And you may say, but Pastor, that's impossible. Well, it is impossible without the Holy Spirit. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and transform us so that we can live lives that honor the Lord and exalt the Lord and bring glory unto him. Earl Scheib restoration became a joke. The problem is that there are many unbelievers in America today who think Christianity is a joke. And they think it's a joke because they don't see genuine transformation in the lives of people who are claiming to be Christians. Be honest. How many unbelieving friends do you know that said, well, I don't see any difference between those people going to church and me. Why would I want to become like them? And it is a sad discourse and testimony about the church when our lives are not different than the lives of unbelievers. And I'm not talking about external things. I'm talking about character. I'm talking about the heart. I'm talking about how we love people, how we treat people, how we deal with people. Because the world can never be unselfish. By their basic sinful nature, they cannot help but put themselves first. But God has called us to love him with all of our heart and love our neighbor as our... Yeah, we know it! But oftentimes, we're like an Earl Scheib paint job. We look good for a while, but we fade quickly. If we're not willing to take the time for genuine transformation in our lives. Complete restoration cannot come until complete repentance is manifested. You see, God can only straighten out the parts of your life you give to him. He's not going to force you to do anything. He's not going to force you to change. He may remind you of the consequences of the choices you make, but it still has to be your choice. If you want a 24-hour paint job, you will quickly become disappointed in the results. Until we admit that we are broken, God cannot fully restore us. Until we admit our need, he cannot do the work inside that transforms our thinking, that transforms our heart, that changes who we are. We're not Christians because we go to a Christian service once a week or once a month or whenever we go. We become Christ-like because we become Christ-like. Because we are allowing the Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God to our heart and transform who we are. We don't want to just look good. Hello? Some people are interested in how food looks. I'm interested in how it tastes. My mother's goulash did not look good. And I don't even know if you'd call it goulash. She called it goulash. I guess it was hillbilly goulash. It was hamburger and macaroni mixed together with tomato sauce and some spices. It didn't look like a whole lot, but it sure tasted good. Amen. And it would fill the belly. And I loved it. God isn't just interested in us looking good. David's brothers all looked good, but they were not chosen because they had not developed a servant's heart so that God could use them. Listen to David's cry of repentance after being confronted by the prophet Nathan for his affair with Bathsheba and the cover-up murder of her husband. I want to read to you, if I can, what he said here. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your loyal love. Because of your great compassion, wipe away my rebellious acts. Wash away my wrongdoing. Cleanse me of my sin. For I am aware of my rebellious acts. I am forever conscious of my sin. Against you, you above all, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. So you are just when you confront me, and you are right when you condemn me. Look, I was guilty of sin from birth. A sinner the moment my mother conceived me. Look, you desire integrity in the inner man. You want me to possess wisdom. Sprinkle me with water and I will be pure. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Grant me the ultimate joy of being forgiven. Any of you experienced that? If you're a child of God, you should have experienced that joy. Man, it was always a joy to me when I confessed my sins and felt the release of peace that comes from the grace of God. Grant me the ultimate joy of being forgiven. May the bones you crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Wipe away all my guilt. Create for me a new heart, a pure heart, O God, and renew a resolute spirit within me. Do not reject me. Those are powerful words. Those are passionate words. Those are words that cried out from David's heart to God. But he didn't even stop there. He said, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Let me again experience the joy of your deliverance. Sustain me by giving me the desire to obey. I believe it wearies God when through our lives we keep asking, how much can we get away with and you still love us? Sustain me by giving me the desire to obey. Then I will teach rebels your merciful ways and sinners will turn to you. Rescue me from the guilt of murder, O God, the God who delivers me. Then my tongue will shout for joy because of your deliverance. Oh, Lord, give me the words. Then my mouth will praise you. Certainly you do not want a sacrifice or else I would offer it. You do not desire a burnt sacrifice. The sacrifices that you desire are a humble spirit, O God, a humble and repentant heart you will not reject. I'm telling you, you cannot truly be born again without genuine repentance. In fact, the Bible teaches us there is no forgiveness without repentance. We must desire to turn from our sins and follow the Lord. And He puts the Holy Spirit in us so that we can be transformed. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins and forgives us, but it does not make us all that God wants us to be. It is the starting point. Salvation is instantaneous in the sense of forgiveness. But we have to work out that salvation in the sense of our character and becoming someone who brings glory and honor to God again. Someone on Facebook the other day had said something about people who worship God and speak in tongues and praise the Lord and do all these spiritual things in church and then live like the devil on Monday. And they said, how can that be so? Well, the only way we are to judge people is by their fruits. And the only way we'll truly know if someone is a Christian or not is not because they do spiritual things, because Jesus said there'll be people standing before him saying, we did all of this for you. And he'll say, I don't know you. I never knew you. It isn't doing all the religious stuff that makes you a Christian. It's becoming like Christ. It is your character changing and being transformed by the power of God. And that is what God is looking for. God is looking for people who will truly repent of their sins and say, God, I am broken. I can't. I want to do the right thing, but I can't. The Apostle Paul said that himself. He said, every time I try to do the right thing, I end up doing the wrong thing. And he says, who can save me? But then he didn't stop there. It was a rhetorical question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord, because Christ can save us. But he saves us by not only forgiving us of our sins, but by putting his spirit within us to help us become like him. Because our very existence in this world is to bring glory and honor to him, not simply to survive. You know, we're not trying to survive the island called Earth. We were created to bring glory and honor to God. And I've said many times, you know, if you could get to heaven without falling in love with Jesus, you would hate it when you got there. Because who wants to spend eternity with someone they don't love? Don't look at your husband and wife. It may feel like an eternity, but it's just a vapor. If we don't fall in love with him, if we don't want to please him, if we don't want to be like him, then wherever we ended up, it would be hell. God created us so we could experience his glory and so that we could share that glory with one another. That's why the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. He not only wants you to love him, but through his love, he wants you to love one another. And that only happens when the Spirit of God transforms our heart. Our character changes. Amen. God, you want a humble and repentant heart that you will not reject. Pastor Sturgill prophesied last Sunday that 2017 would be the year of victory for our church. What'd you say? Complete victory? Complete victory. I like that. Complete victory comes through complete surrender. You know, God will not be a backseat driver, he's not going to be your passenger who will grab the steering wheel when you lose control. No, he's either the Lord of everything or he's not Lord at all. Victory comes through spiritual restoration. And I would suggest to you that every person here needs some kind of restoration. Some of you need your anointing restored. You once walked in the power of the Holy Ghost, but you have gotten so far away from God that you don't even sense his presence anymore in your life. Some of you need a restoration of a burden for the lost because you can carelessly walk by people every day who are on their way to hell and pay no mind or attention to them whatsoever. You scurry along with your own business and do not realize that God may have a divine appointment for you and you may be the last person they ever hear the name of Jesus whisper. Some of us need a restoration of our compassion because we can be so full of ourselves and our own suffering that we forget about the suffering of others. Some need a restoration of a desire to be in God's house and among God's people and doing God's work. Because for many churches just become another option, just like another TV channel. You can have 300 of them now and not find one thing worth watching. Some need a restoration of effectiveness in their life. Just kind of been going through, you know, just going through it, just doing it, you know, the routine. But it has lost its effectiveness. Some need a restoration of faithfulness. If there was ever a time in your life when you were more faithful to God than you are right now, you need to repent and ask God to restore again that hunger in your soul. Some need a restoration of the glory of God. What do you mean? We are to demonstrate His glory to this world. Some of us need a restoration of the light of Christ, not only shining into us, but shining through us to the world that we live in. The other day, someone said, if your church closed down, would anybody in your community even know it? Wow. Think about that for a moment. We need a restoration of hunger for God and for the things of God. We can spiritually starve to death. I've often said you can prepare a table, but you can't make people eat. You know, it's kind of like leading the horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And that is true. No matter what is offered, if we're not hungry, we're not going to eat. My grandson came home from school the other day. We pick him up a couple days a week, 2 to 3 days a week, depending on the week. And he's almost always hungry. You know, when he comes through the door, you know, hey, you want something to eat, you know, and you know, a snack, you want some cereal, you want something, you know, and he almost always says yes because he eats like a horse. You know, he is his son's son, or my son's son. The other day he come in, he said, I don't think I want anything. Whew, immediately I am concerned. You know, when a seventh grade boy is not hungry, there is something wrong. Hello? Where is our hunger? Where is our hunger to be in the presence of God, to experience His presence? That's not something you do on a Sunday morning. That's something you do in your prayer closet or prayer room or wherever it may be, that place where you get alone with God. Amen. Some of us need a restoration of simply illumination. We need to start hearing from God, and we're not. We're full of confusion and chaos. Everything is around us going crazy. We're in this storm, and we need to hear from the Lord. Well, I would suggest to you that God is speaking because He said, "Whosoever will, let him hear." It's not that He's not speaking. Our ears are so clouded, we're not hearing. Some need the joy restored. Man. Most of you probably look in the mirror before you come to church to see what you look like. Not all of you, but most of you. Some of you I'm not sure about. But we need to look in the spiritual mirror and say, where's the joy? Why would anyone want to have what I have? Where is the joy? Hey, it's no trouble finding people who are angry or bitter or sad or frustrated or filled with anxiety. But where are those people who are playing their harps and singing songs to God and rejoicing in the God of their salvation? The happiest people on the face of the earth should be those people whose sins are forgiven and who are being transformed by the power of God. If people at work are not asking you, how do you do it? Then maybe we're not doing it. We need a restoration of kindness. Anybody remember me preaching a sermon about 2 or 3 years ago? Just be kind. Just be kind. The Bible says through acts of kindness, God woos people to Him. Then surely His people need to be kind if we're going to bring glory to Him and invite people into His presence. A restoration of kindness. We need a restoration of love, because I am convinced that most people don't know what love is anymore. You see it every day on Facebook. I love you, but... Well, if you love someone, you don't beat them half to death on Facebook. No. If you love someone, you don't kick them while you're going out the door. If you love someone, you don't show their dirty laundry to the entire world. Hello? You can tell me you love me, and that's fine. I'd rather you show me that you love me. Hello? It's true in marriage relationships. It's true in parent-children relationships. It's true in children-parent relationships. It's true in the workplace. It is so easy for us to throw out that four-letter word, love. It might as well be another four-letter word. Because for so many, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Love. I love you, well, sometimes. No, love doesn't love sometimes. When the Bible says love never fails, it means it never gives up. That's what the Word of God says. We need a restoration of our motivation. God, help us to get back up. I know the world has knocked you down. The reason 5 out of every 10 ministers quit the ministry within 5 years is because they get knocked down. Somehow they thought if they went into the ministry, everybody would love them. Well, they should have talked to me first. Because that's not the case. The devil hates you, and he'll put all kinds of junk in people's minds to doubt you and question you and sometimes even to speak evil of you. Our motivation cannot be because everybody loves us. And our motivation cannot be success. Hello? Our motivation has to be the Savior and a servant's heart in serving Him. Some need restored just a new freshness in their life. Somebody say, out with the old, in with the new. 2017 is going to be a better year than 2016 by the grace of God. I'll prophesy that by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Some need a restoration of optimism. My goodness, the world has become so pessimistic. Some need a restoration of power in a restored prayer life. Some need a restoration of character quality. Some need a restoration of relationships with God and with people they've broken off relationships with. Some need a restoration of sincerity. Some need a restoration of their talents. It's been so long since you've used the gifts that God has given to you that they've become rusty and they need to be restored. Some need a restoration of the unction of God. I don't know how many times people say, well, I think God was speaking to me, but I'm not really sure. Well, then go back and talk to Him until you know whether He was speaking to you or not. Where was the unction? Restore our victory, a restoration of victory, a restoration of unadulterated, genuine worship. Hallelujah. Man, if we could come into this place, in fact, anywhere, and just worship without trying to impress anyone but God. You know, because no one else is really going to be impressed. No matter how talented you are or untalented you are, the only person you're really going to impress with your worship is God if you worship is genuine and honest and sincere and passionate. Okay. People say, are you passionate, Pastor? Pastor Nip, I think you're passionate. I say, yeah, just about everything. I can get passionate eating a good hamburger. I'm surely going to get passionate about the Lord. The older I get, every day of my life, I am so thankful for the blessings of God upon my life. And it's not like I haven't been through anything, but it's like the faithfulness of God just overwhelms me. Because through it all, I've learned to trust in Him. And through it all, He keeps saying, you're not alone. You're not alone. Even when you feel alone, you're not alone. He is an ever-present God to help us in our time of need. We need to learn to entertain Him, to worship Him, to share our hearts with Him. Some need a restoration of exaltation, so that we can exalt the Lord our God. Some need a restoration of a yearning for God, for heaven, for the things of the Lord. Some need a restoration of zeal. And if you haven't figured it out yet, I just went from A to Z. Some of us fit in there several times. If we are ready to repent and seek his heart with all our heart, restoration will come. God is not holding back anything from you. Repent. Embrace. Receive. Believe. And this will be a year of victory for you. Would you just lift your hands and thank God for his word this morning? Would you do that? Just lift your hands to the Lord and thank him for his word. Father, we're not clapping our hands. We're lifting our hands to you. We acknowledge your word. We acknowledge your greatness. We acknowledge your glory. I acknowledge the fact, God, that I don't have the skill to share the way I would like to share, but you are speaking, you are speaking, you are speaking into our hearts and into our lives. And if we will allow you, you will change our hearts and give us the ability to bring glory to you through the lives that we live. Forgive us. Restore us. Renew us. Let us wholly become what you have called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lately, the heavens have opened up, and I feel God's heart so strong that I can hardly take it. I am just so filleted by it, by its beauty. I have, in the last couple weeks, been gone to different levels in his heart than ever before. And as I was in the prayer closet with him this past week, I had a burden to pray for the lost, and why aren't we going out and seeking the lost and praying for the motivation of God's people? Why aren't we coming in and supporting the works of the church more? Why aren't we coming to church with more hunger? Why are our pews empty? Why are we not soldiers of our living God? What is happening to us? And so God brought me out of my prayer closet and search for this little trinket box that I have had for years. It's about love, and I've put jewelry in there before as I was washing dishes and things, and he set me out to find that. And so I got it into my hands, and the top of it says love. And he says, this is my people. And the top of it says love, and around the sides it has the scriptures of Corinthians 13 of everything that love is. Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, love is forgiving. And as you go around, it says everything that love is not. And he said, open it up. So I took the lid off, and it's empty. We come in dressed and walk around with the scripture, but we're empty. We're empty of his love, everything it is, everything it isn't. And so he told me to turn it upside down and kind of like shake it. And there was nothing to come out of it. But on top of the bottom, it says, You can have all the riches. You can have the faith to move mountains. But without love, you are nothing. We are nothing. What is love? God is love. If we are not filled with His love, we are nothing. If we aren't filled with His love to go out into the world to save the lost, to heal the broken, to put ourselves down for someone else, we are nothing. What is love? God is love. The first, very most important thing that we are to do is love our God with all our heart, all our soul, all of our mind. If we did, we would change and the world around us would change, because then we would love others as we love ourselves. Then how is ourself? Then our love box is full. Then we are full of the Lord. Then we are a representative, a true representative of God and His love. So the Lord asked me to share this, and as I'm sitting there listening to the pastor's word, it's just filleting me wide open. And I beckon you with a heart of God to get in to God, surrender yourself so He can fill you with His love, so we can then do our purpose. He is supposed to be number one in our time slot. Not when we have time to put Him in a slot. God is love. We should be that love.
Father, we receive Your word again and recognize that You are speaking to us. And sometimes You speak in a still, small voice. At other times, we can hear it echoing in our mind and in our heart. And this morning, I hear the cry, surrender, 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 so that we can be made whole, so that You can pour Yourself into us, because we cannot love our fellow man as ourself until Your love consumes us. Help us to surrender to You, to turn from the lives that we live for ourselves and to live for You 24/7. We ask it, oh God, through the power of Your Spirit. Help us to become willing to obey You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn to the person beside you this morning and say, I'm praying for you to surrender all that you are to God so that He can transform you with His love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, and use me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Stand. stand to your feet with me this morning. I want you to break me, melt me, mold me, and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Oh God,